I want you to put your hands together.
There goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes to the neighborhood.
All right, welcome back to episode 35 of the Smokescreen Podcast.
Yes, indeed.
I'm your co-host, Chris. Because
I'm your co-host, James.
We did it normally. We could not think of anybody for this particular topic. But we do have a new sponsor this week.
Yes, we do.
Odor Eaters. Thank you to Odor Eaters, our sponsor this week. Got stinky feet?
You got big stinky feet?
You can see where we're going with this already. So we talked about this actually years ago on an old podcast.
Yes, we did.
But you can't have a history and mystery podcast without this subject. You just can't.
That's right.
Like UFOs, you have to talk about Bigfoot.
Got to.
Or Sasquatch, or Yeti,
yeah.
Or the skunk ape, or
the abominable snowman.
I mean, they're all the same thing. So we got through down this rabbit hole last couple of days and watched a few documentaries last couple of nights.
Yes.
Just, you know, see if there's anything new as far as discoveries or sightings and these documentaries, man. James had, I don't know where you find this shit. But what do we watch? You have the name of some of them that brought us back down this rabbit hole again. Because, I mean, this is always something that's fascinating because we've been camping. I've camped for most of my life. And
right.
I've heard things, but I've never seen anything or whatever that I would consider a Bigfoot. So it's curious to me why this is still a thing, honestly.
Well, I think the only thing I can assume is that these are people who, like us, when we were young and were into stuff like this, and you get those books from the library with
yes.
Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster,
Nessie, yep,
Bermuda Triangle.
It was all in the same vein.
Yeah.
And it used to be a big thing on TV. I mean, it's kind of just died off lately, mm-hmm. last few years. But yeah, you'd see the Bermuda Triangle in the same series that you would see Bigfoot,
yeah.
UFOs.
It wasn't as saturated as it is now.
Right.
So, you know, the world felt a lot bigger when we were kids. The internet has shrunk
yes.
it, you know. So we were like, well, you never know what's out there
right.
when you're a kid, you know. And then you grow up and you see all this stuff and you start venturing into the woods a lot and then you just start asking common sense questions. And I
right.
think what happens is some people lose that. Well, there might be, and some people don't.
Yeah. And I want to say too, and that's kind of a theme that we mention almost every podcast is when, you know, because we're in that weird time frame as a generation where there was no internet and then the internet just changed everything. It literally
yeah.
changed everything that we talk about.
I definitely don't feel like countries and other continents are as far away now because
yeah.
you can order something from China and get it here in no time.
Yeah, I mean, you can overnight it or whatever
yeah.
if you want. I mean, it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's something that's always fascinated me. And I was down that, you know, ever since I was a kid, I'd watch anything I could on Bigfoot. Like you mentioned, the Bermuda Triangle. I studied all these particular cases. We have the famous Patterson film up here on the TV.
Yeah.
I mean, but we saw that disproven. I just want to say this, even though we may come off as not necessarily believing it's a thing, because I don't have a definitive answer, but it doesn't mean I'm not saying that people that see things aren't seeing things, because there's just
right.
too much of that. There's too many people that see something.
Yes.
For it not to be something going on. But, you know, whether it's, you know, a bear a lot of times or
which
just
is a lot of what I think it might be.
Yeah. I think a lot of the, you know, are mistaken for bears standing up on their hind legs.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't overall, I guess, buy, you know, such an intelligent creature that it wants to be hidden, but at the same time peeks in windows and throws rocks at tents. You know what I mean? I don't know. There's,
right.
it's like a weird thing. And then there's so much technology. You know, we'll get into some of that stuff. There's so much technology. Just, I don't think there's any way we couldn't discover something that big.
I don't think so either anymore. And I used to believe that,
yeah.
oh, well, the forests are so dense and
yeah, there's so much untapped land.
Yeah.
And yeah, absolutely.
But we now, you know what I mean? Like again, with the advances in technology, drones with the heat sensors and stuff,
right.
I'm sure, I mean, that just makes it easy to cover this forest and you could see the heat signatures of anything out there, and there's just no proof. Nobody's ever brought any footage back that says, look at this, in the middle, you know, the Aspens or whatever.
Right.
There's exactly. a heat signature of a fucking huge family out here.
Right.
You know?
But on the other side of that, too, is what I mentioned to you, like, you know, going camping all the time. I know there's thousands of deer out there, but you don't really ever see one very often.
I agree. You don't.
So we go down hiking to go gold panning back in the day. I mean, I rarely ever saw a deer.
Right.
But yet I found deer skeletons.
Yeah, well.
You know, in creeks, you know, or near creeks or
and
whatever.
Some deer do fuck up and get seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And get photographed.
Yeah, I mean, in some places, for example, months ago, when I was starting to look around to move and all that stuff, you know, I went up to this neighborhood out near a lake, and they were everywhere on the side of the road. Didn't give a shit that you rode by. They were just so used to cars and people. They didn't run. They just sat there and ate on the side of the road. But then other places, you go out in the middle of the woods, and you never damn see one. I mean, you know, it's just really weird.
And plus, you hear about what do they call it? Deforestation or whatever they call it when lumber industry has driven all these bears into people's yards and stuff.
Right.
But they're not driving any Bigfoot away, and you know, they're not shrinking their territory so much that now all of a sudden we're seeing them now, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing that you mentioned, you know, the family or whatever. It's just because people that believe, like, I guess the cryptozoologists is what they're labeled technically, you know, are they a big enough population to even be sustainable? You know, that type of thing.
You got to think about that.
There's so many weird things.
You got to assume that if this one is real behind us, that was October of 67, then that one's gone. But it had offspring, you know. Right, yeah, we only assume that one's probably gone. Let's see if it's an adult with boobs that big in 67. Yeah, it could be old and gray now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they live 150 years. Who knows?
Never know. But surely it's having to for people to see stuff around the world. They're having to breed and have offspring.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, the around the world thing, because that's the thing, that's the stuff that leads you still to think there may be some possibility of something, because in every culture around the globe they have the same stories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, North America obviously is, you know, it's a big huge place out west, but all the Native American tribes have the same stories of a hairy man in the woods, you know, drawn on cave paintings. You know, it's in Asia, it's in Africa, it's in Australia. We did this podcast years ago with Ozzyman from Ozzyman Reviews.
Yes, we did.
He talked about the Bogan down there and all that good stuff. So there's every single culture has something very similar in it, but it's almost like the pyramid thing. Why are so many different cultures that were separated by oceans have pyramid-shaped structures?
That does fascinate you to think about.
It is, and so it goes back into the ancient alien thing. People associate them with aliens, you know, why you never find bones.
Right.
And like I was telling you the other day, there's a theory out there that dragons used to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we never find fossilized bones like we do with a dinosaur or whatever is because they had bones like birds to be able to fly, and those rarely fossilize because they're hollow. And so there's theories like that as with, you know, with the Bigfoots, I guess. They're either UFOs or they're, you know, they get back in their craft because people see lights in the same areas in the forest or whatever, or they bury their dead.
Yeah, that's what the one guy said on that one documentary we watched, and said he was talking about how hard it is to make a fossil and how acidic, how acidic pine needles and our soil is.
The North American soil, right.
So, I mean, who's to say as far as that goes? And like you said, that was a good point about the deer. You don't see a lot of things when you're out there because your feet make noise and
they're leaving before you get there.
Yeah, they avoid you. But for now, trail cams and stuff like that, we've seen. Well, there was one recently. I know when I was living here, we were watching a trail cam footage, and it was a bear walking on its hind legs across in front of this damn trail cam.
Right.
But a lot of people thought it was Bigfoot at first. And but you can tell, it looks to me like, they were thinking it was a primate on all fours at one time or something. I can't quite remember, so don't quote me on that. But all I'm saying is it was mistaken identity. And yes. I believe if you're in the woods and say you're like me, first off, and I see something hairy, right. I'm not going to get a good look at it, right? Mm-mm. Would you think I'm going to stand there and
no.
be able to
go,
say,
oh, wait, let me go follow that thing yeah. or peek around that tree a little more.
Looked like I had six fingers.
I know everybody,
I man. Would not say that because I wouldn't look that good.
Yes. Every dude that's on the news for a Bigfoot sighting is from North Carolina, and they're all the actual hillbillies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just,
but the funny
time.
Thing is I'm related to some of that this guy's name is Tim Peeler. And I have people in my family that talk and act just like
oh,
him.
Oh no,
and,
we do.
And he what'd he say? Rough talked him?
Yeah, rough talked him.
He rough talked him.
Get. You know, he had that bow staff. He has the point.
And he went right yonder through that path.
Yeah, he went right back to that path. Then I came back out. I thought he was going to kill my dog.
He was right here.
I know, every time. But, I mean, you know, I will say that I don't think that people these days that have some kind of sighting, just like UFO stuff, especially we just did the UFO talk on the podcast and the mm-hmm. recent revelations with the footage and all that stuff. I don't think people think you are as crazy as they used to, but it depends on your story. And of course, like that guy you're just talking about, Peeler.
Because I told you, I think he saw something.
Sure. Yeah.
I think he had been drinking.
Sounded like it.
I think his dog started raising Cain. He walked out, saw something he didn't recognize, and
probably yelled, "Get."
Yeah.
But he damn sure didn't poke it in the belly.
In the belly button.
Right above it.
Yeah, right above his belly button, which was behind his beard, yes. which covered, went down to his groin. he gave a detailed description of this.
He
thing.
Did. He stuck to his guns. He was pretty consistent on
but,
it.
But, you know, I do believe that a lot of people see things. They say maybe come back to a camp and what, their tents tore up and stuff. And
right.
probably has been a bear. And like you said, some bear tracks could probably fool people.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And I think, you know, and there's a reason they tell you when you go, like, for example, hiking on the Appalachian Trail, you know, they have boxes for food to keep it from the bears. You don't keep the food in your tent. There's a reason there's these, you know, guidelines when you go to National Forest to go camping. Don't leave food near your tent and all that shit. You do that other places. You know, you go over here and cook.
Right.
You know, things like that or whatever. At least throw away the stuff out here. You know, so there's reasons for that, you know.
And there are weird things you talked about last night about some of the tree falls or whatever, formations.
Yeah, formations and
look like, wait a minute now, you know, those are heavy trees. You
yeah,
know?
There was a specific thing. You know, I think the most credible documentary as far as actually somebody who wants to know the truth, because you always have. You know, I'm not saying everybody don't, because I watched, you know, Finding Bigfoot for probably a couple of years up until mm-hmm. just a few years ago. But you quickly realize you're never going to see anything. They're never going to find anything. It's the same script every show. And I just know from personal experience and friends who have who's done some of these type of shows, they're not real. And, you know, it's disappointing, but I think the most credible to me was the Les Stroud Finding Bigfoot. He's the guy who did, you know, Survivor Man. And then apparently, throughout all these years of filming Survivor Man, he had some experiences and heard things and whatever, because he's the guy who goes out completely alone
yeah.
with his own cameras, and he had told some of these stories, and they eventually did Survivor Man Bigfoot. I think it was a short series. I don't know if it was a two-year thing or whatever, yeah. maybe just 10 episodes or less. I'm not even sure now. But he went out there with the real intent of trying to find out, and so he goes out and he, you know, puts up cameras and he sets up DNA traps where, like, he puts out food and these little prickly things that would poke him and get some blood samples and, you know, all this stuff. And he had some, you know, odd occurrences. He didn't see anything on camera. He heard some noises and things like that. So it came back, you know, of course, not definitive either way. But I think he had he gave it the best shot. You right. know what I mean? As far as actually trying to remain open-minded at the same time being skeptical.
Because here's the thing, you could get funded to go out and research this, right? But
sure, I guess.
If you say we're funded long enough to well enough to stay out for 3 months and you didn't find anything, the way this works is you still can't definitively say there's nothing right. out there.
That's right.
Because they'll say you were in the wrong spot. They knew you were there.
Right.
Something.
That's right.
So there's no way.
I mean, you know, unfortunately, like we just watched this documentary, Shooting Bigfoot. Was that the
Shooting
name of it?
Shooting Bigfoot. It's
a good documentary. I mean, I recommend watching it, at least for the entertainment value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll see, you know, they're not North Carolinians, but close enough.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's just, it's crazy. I really do want to reach out and talk to this British guy who filmed it.
I do too.
I really do. But, it's because he
follows three sets of
Bigfoot people, and they're all insane. I mean, honestly, and that's the problem. You know, you have legitimate people who are out here, you know, trying to find out if maybe they're hobbyists or whatever, but then you got these damn hoaxers. Like, not everybody on that show was hoaxed, but one was and set the whole damn thing up. Oh, I mean,
another one said he was some people were just called to be able to communicate with Bigfoot.
Right.
And he said, right. Why? Why are you called? He said, when I was four and a half years old, I fell and busted my skull wide open.
Right.
And so they put sheep bone in there.
Yes.
And let it fuse.
Wait, you have sheep bone in your head?
Yeah.
I mean,
and that helps you, Bigfoot? Yeah, because I got animal DNA in me now.
I mean, he just made that up on the spot.
It's
but,
crazy,
you know, but
dude.
Because he didn't expect the question.
No. And that's why I like this guy, is he kind of puts some pressing questions towards these people.
He does, and they don't like it.
No,
they don't
like
it at all.
It.
So, and this other cat is clearly out just to make money, obviously.
Yes.
You know, running around. So I recommend watching it,
just,
at least for the entertainment value. You're not going to find out any evidence on Bigfoot, basically.
No.
I can tell you that, but it is entertaining. And then the other one, what was the other one recently? It was okay, but it ended up kind of being, after we saw this one, it was a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, because that one, it had good interviews, but horrible editing.
Yes,
it's like the edit, like you said, the B-roll shit, it just didn't match up with what they were talking about.
Like, these people literally went out and filmed some things and then just went and Googled some B-roll stuff. Just random shit.
Googled
it. Didn't match up at all. Like, he mentioned the word CIA, so they had a typewriter. Just type in the letter CIA. It's B-roll.
He mentioned Viking.
Yeah.
And they had a black light on a dude with white paint in his beard.
It was just so odd. Yeah, that'll look cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, they produced that for about $100.
Right.
You know, I mean, seriously.
But so the people on there that they interviewed, though, they brought up a lot of things because it was like the documentary would have a question on the screen typed across the screen, and then it would show each of these people answering it, like,
right,
why
right.
haven't they found any more evidence and all this? And then so you get to hear these guys.
And they really didn't even answer the questions.
No.
Most of the time it was a quick little thing that kind
of
brushed by the question. But that's the way they presented the whole documentary.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. I
think that one's not really worth shit.
I think the people who really want to believe will put together some serious, you know, arguments because they want it to be real. They don't want to know one way or the other. They want it to be real.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like anything in the conspiracy community.
And like we've talked about before, really science, you have to be okay with either outcome.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So let me throw this at you, kind of like a, because we kind of talked about this a lot in the last couple of days, but it's almost like a chicken or the egg kind of question.
All right. Chicken or the egg.
The first Bigfoot footprint, I mean, because that's how he got his name.
Right.
Don't you think?
The footprints.
I don't think somebody would make a footprint, a big footprint in the wilderness and go, I'm going to start a whole movement
of
these giant people.
Yeah, there
woods.
Had to be something
Somebody
first.
Somebody stumbled on something first. Do you agree?
I totally agree. I mean, I guess people could come up with hoaxes on but that's odd. So there had to be something that somebody found and went, damn, that's a big-ass foot. Or looks like a big-ass foot.
And it could have been a weird tree that fell and hit.
Right.
Or some rocks were moved.
But
and
I don't But I don't understand the foot thing, the print thing, as evidence anyway.
Right.
Because every time they... Now, again, this is limited to what we've seen on documentaries or these TV shows. or whatever when it got popular. And I think it kind of soared with the outdoor survival stuff at the same time. All that outdoor stuff was on, and everybody was watching all the survival shows.
You're right.
Bigfoot kind of comes along with that type of thing. But yeah, every time they find one, it's one. Like, are they fucking hopping on one fucking leg and they just don't see another one for 30 feet? I mean, there's never a trail.
Yeah.
Now, occasionally there's been some in the snow that you see or hear about.
That's true.
But it's in the snow.
That's right.
And there's never any left. You know, like, once the snow's gone, for some reason, there's no impressions on the ground.
Yeah.
Now, I guess there's a couple of, you know, exceptions to that. But for the most part, it's one print. And it makes no sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, they, and first of all, they don't look like feet, most of them.
Right.
They're just like long, elongated impressions. And then you'll have people, supposedly scientists in some cases, studying them and saying, yeah, the pressure goes, it was here. You can see the heel pressure here and the, yeah, where it gripped into the, you know, the toes bent, where it gripped into the mud or whatever. And it's like, it don't even look like a foot. It looks like a long divot.
That's what I
it's
think.
It's really weird.
A lot of those casts that they have, you know, don't have toes. They'll just, yeah, be,
it'll
like
be
you
like
said,
elongated thing with maybe a dot,
right,
or something. And it don't fit well, because like, you've, everybody's at least seen footprints on the beach of people or in a sand, you know, I don't know, in sand somewhere, maybe a volleyball court, whatever. And you know what it looks like when
you
somebody
know
walks.
Exactly what it looks like.
And I'm not saying it would be exactly like that, but if we're talking about some kind of
hominid.
It's
like a Carolina Tar Heel symbol.
Yeah, the, yeah, Carolina, exactly. You know, the foot pressure, there's nothing in the middle where you have an arch for the,
yep,
most part.
Right.
Now, again, some people are more flat-footed. They're going to vary a little, mm-hmm, bit, sure. But most of these are just not, look, don't look like feet to me. They look like big, like, I don't know.
Like
big feet. They're too wide or something. They don't, I don't know.
I know what you're saying. It's like a big catcher's mitt.
Yes.
With a heel on it or something.
Right. Because
it's got these giant fat-ass toes, yes, that aren't different like ours. Like,
right,
say the Tar Heel symbol.
Yes.
How they get smaller as they go. Now, some of them do, but they're still, they're just like, it's like there's pressure all the way down on the toes.
Yes.
Because they're just as deep as the rest of the footprint.
Right. And when you see somebody on the beach, though, you see, like, for example, a deep heel impression.
Yes.
Nothing in the middle or very little.
Yep.
And then at the, you can see where they pick their toes bent.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, you know what I mean.
So
you can picture that for anybody listening.
And see, I told you before, because I watch Forensic Files so much, that I said, you know, I'd love to have a job where I make casts of tire prints and,
yeah, yeah,
stuff,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that, shoe print,
yes,
impressions.
To identify everything.
To,
yes,
identify people. Well, like, if I was that kind of forensic scientist and somebody said, come out here in the woods, man, you got to see this, I don't think I'd waste my time, you know, after I got out there and was like, are you talking about this?
Right. I don't
this,
either.
This,
unless you have a, like I said, something where they continue to walk.
Right.
Because it's always convenient. Like, I know on one, it was the one of where the Todd guy in Canada, there. Now, that was another one that's, he seems credible sometimes, but other times he don't. He actually sued Canada to try to get the,
yeah, yeah,
the,
yeah,
you know, the actual government saying, you know, protected species. So he really believes it, apparently. At least that's what he portrays publicly.
I just learned about him last night.
Yeah, there's, yeah, there's a great documentary that he has, and he actually met Les Stroud for Survivor Man Bigfoot in one episode or two, maybe. But he has his own documentary that I would suggest to watch if you're interested in this type of thing. And he invites two scientists out there, and they don't end up buying it, but they do take, he does take them to, like you mentioned, the tree thing that's, you know, of like 15, 16 trees all in this kind of teepee style shape. And you can't really explain the way they fail and certain on top of each other. And you, it's out in the middle of nowhere, Alberta, Canada.
Yeah.
But he finds this one particular footprint that he's like, and it actually kind of looks like a footprint, but it's just like one in some thick moss right beside a tree stump. Now, why is there no other footprints leading to that or continuing from that? There was none.
Yeah.
Like, how did that one get there, but there's moss everywhere?
Practicing for the triple jump or something.
Exactly. So like they're one-legged Bigfoot hops 35 feet.
Yeah, that's odd, ain't it?
So there's never a trail. I mean, like I said, very rarely. Maybe somebody knows some videos or documentaries that actually show more of actually a trail where something's walking. I have heard of the families mm-hmm. where there's maybe trails and then you see some smaller ones beside them or whatever. Or, but then you hear about, well, they walk single file to hide their numbers. So it goes back to these people who pretend to be these cryptozoologist experts who basically just make excuses in some ways.
Yeah, they're guessing.
It's you notice a guess.
They mix a lot of prehistoric man.
Yes.
Like stuff
yes.
they find from them.
Right.
Ancient freaking skeletons and how they're structured. And then they try to put that on Bigfoot.
Yes.
And the little things that maybe they found in archaeologists
or stuff
have found
they combine
about
with camp. Apes.
Yeah. Like with apes. That's right.
Right.
Because they do think it's like this big forest primate or whatever. And
right.
So my thing is, you know, we just on our last podcast talked about that documentary, that found footage thing
yes.
we watched.
Yes, yes.
And so I told Chris, I said, hey, you know, I remember when Bobcat Goldthwait was on Joe Rogan, he talked about
right.
he was making a Bigfoot movie. So we watched the trailer last night, and evidently it's a found footage thing. We haven't watched it yet, but
right.
it's a Bigfoot found footage thing that starts off with every year. So many hikers
go missing. Their bodies are never, well, said most bodies
most
are never
bodies
found.
Are never found. So, you know,
yeah, right, most bodies.
These What's, people are like, I told Chris, I said, you know, we're supposed to be the apex top dog, smartest creature on earth.
Right.
And we get our ankles stuck between rocks and die sometimes out there.
Right.
We drown sometimes accidentally.
People falling crevices.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, crevasses.
Right. And,
you know,
and shit happens. Trees fall on us sometimes.
Right.
A limb will fall and kill us. But
bear attacks.
A landslide. Anything. But we've yet to see a Bigfoot under a boulder where he's stuck.
No,
you know, he got hit. They're just the luckiest, most elusive.
The luckiest. They are. They're so intelligent.
Yeah.
But they occasionally get caught, you know, and peek in people's windows or stand there in Johnny's backyard trying to eat his dog.
Right. Because it was in heat.
But, right. It, the smell attracted it. And then we got this fucker behind us. This dude, oh my God, this is internet gold.
He is hilarious.
This guy we came across watching some of this stuff.
He's a dog trainer.
He is. The channel is a dog training channel, apparently. But he got some fame because he says his dad shot one back in 1953.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to cut up the Bigfoot and haul it out of the swamp.
Yeah.
And he froze it. And now he's showing it off on YouTube.
He's showing
every body part.
Every body part, one at a time.
One at a time. And then, of course, you could get by with something like that on a grainy, shitty video with a frozen
yes.
thing for a while. But then he's got to go and say, and check this out, the hands are magnetic. And
right.
show things sticking to it.
Now,
but he
on.
Forgot to do that in the foot video.
Yeah,
because it's sitting
now.
On a metal table and it moves.
That was frustrating, man.
Come on.
He threw a handful of screws at this Bigfoot hand and they stuck.
And they stuck. And let me tell you, that's why I stopped watching Finding Bigfoot, because I like the guy. The people on there, they really do this for BFRO, I think they're called, this foundation. And you have the one, there's three of them that believe. Bobo's the one that does the calling. He's out there doing the calling, the big guy. But you have this one girl who's actually a scientist, biologist, and she don't believe, but she's the skeptic on the team. So I enjoyed the show for the most part. The reason I stopped watching it is because the lead guy told somebody one time, well, they can, because people see eyes shine. You know, like if you shine a flashlight in the woods, you'll see a dog's eyes or a raccoon's eyes.
Yeah.
Or whatever. They glow when
right.
you shine light on them. He comes out and says that they can produce their own eyes shine. And I was done. I was just instantly done.
What do you mean, like, without a light shining?
Without a light.
Oh, Lord.
And I'm like, did you really just go there? You just ruined any little bit of credibility that you had of actually trying to be a researcher and find out the truth by saying, yes, we know that they can produce their own eye shine.
Yeah, man.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, yes, there are creatures that can produce light.
Right.
But an ape hominid half-human thing is not a firefly. Come on.
It reminds me, when you said that, of that guy that was on the documentary we watched tonight about
yes.
the airplanes.
Yes. That you go out there with some sound equipment.
Yeah.
Fine. I'm all for it.
I agree.
Let's hear it,
mm-hmm.
you know, or let's see the FLIR cameras. But then when you say a low hum UFO, and the guy says, it's an airplane. Yeah. He's like, no, this is a low fucking whatever UFO. And he's like, it's right fucking there. And he points up at it.
It's like, Mark, shine your camera up there, or whatever the guy's name was.
And there's a plane.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what if it's a plane, a UFO that wants us to think it's a plane? You're that, done.
That's when he lost me.
You're done.
Yep.
Just get, there's no point.
He lost me.
So,
because the guy's like, you can hear the fucking propeller.
I know. So, it, you know, it's funny as that is, and funny as entertaining as that was, it does make other people that are legitimate hobbyists or professionals or whatever that really want to know look bad.
Yeah.
Because you say, what do you do while I go out in the woods and look for Bigfoot? And I've been searching for 20 years. I've had these experiences. Well, these other assholes that say they produce their own light in their eyes,
yeah,
or they're from UFOs, and that's why you don't find bones, because they get back in their spacecraft and fly off. You just make everybody else look stupid.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe that's a possibility because there is no bones.
And we have always liked to talk about the psychology of things.
Absolutely.
I feel for some of these people.
Yeah. Because
you can see.
It gets
They really
addicted.
Want it to be, it's an addiction.
It's an addiction.
Yep. And once you're addicted, I don't care what the substance or, you know, whether it's porn or whatever. I mean, it takes over.
Yes.
And I think they probably, a lot of them, go through divorces.
I'm sure, because we saw, they mentioned that the guy, the English guy who did the documentary, asked these people, what does your wife think about this?
What does your wife think?
Oh, she hates it.
Oh, she hates it.
But they're out there every single day.
And dude, like I told you,
these people,
man, I feel like I'm an all right fucking guy, right? So I watch these documentaries where this guy's spending every last dollar on a parabolic freaking sound setup.
Yes.
He goes out in the woods and neglects his old lady all the time. I deliver pizza to people who talk to their wives like dogs, yell at them. They're constantly drunk and come to the door with their hair all messed up and look like they smell like armpits and butthole. And they've got a woman right beside them. What's wrong with me, dude?
What do you mean?
Why do I have such a hard time? I don't beat women. I don't cheat on women.
Oh, shit.
It's like they like me for a couple weeks, and then they're just and done with me. I don't get it, man.
I'm sorry.
I need to start researching Bigfoot, and I can find a girlfriend.
I'm sorry. My face hurts from laughing. Oh, shit. You got to continue for a minute. Because I'm sitting here the same way.
Hey. What's that? You hear that? It's a Sasquatch.
It was. Absolutely. No doubt about it. It was. It was probably a female, about 6.5 feet tall, so still young.
Yeah, I was thinking,
and
maybe
probably
five and
in
half,
her first
feet.
Going in her first heat.
I think that's what it sounded like to me too.
Exactly. I mean, that's what they do.
Exactly.
I mean, that those dudes on there like heard some sounds and the cameras out. I'm not sure I heard it. No, it was like six of them.
Even
and they know. They know exactly.
Even the weirdest one had a girlfriend sleeping in the yard with a beer can beside her.
That's right.
I mean,
she was homeless, but she was, I mean, he took
care of her. Friends for 30 years.
He gave her $5. Promise me you go eat. I promise. I swear to Jesus Christ. Oh, had a beer can laying right beside her.
That's the biggest mystery.
This woman was laying in the grass in the yard.
With the beer in a bag, so it wouldn't be. No, you're going to look at that and think it's a Pepsi. No.
You're taking a nap under the oak tree. Oh,
it's a
Jesus.
Freaking Bush Light.
Oh, I can't. Oh, well, how do we get into this?
I don't know. But I, honestly, it just frustrates me because sometimes I feel like calling the cops on some of these dudes. Sometimes they're so abusive to their woman. And then I leave and I'm like, fuck's wrong with me? I'll be looking at myself in the rearview mirror and going, damn.
Same here, man. Same here. Hashtag James Rant.
Well, we do history and mystery. The mystery of what women like. I mean, it's just like finding Bigfoot.
It is, actually. Yes, we have the psychology behind it. Yeah, it absolutely is. That's true. Good point. So that's going to be a new thing, I'll tell you right now. Hashtag James Rant. There's your new thing. Oh, shit. What were we talking about? UFOs?
Women sleeping in the grass. What voice was that? Did you hear that?
Yeah, you just went through a thing there, dude. I don't know. You had an episode.
It's a midlife crisis. My birthday's next week, and I'm
That's right. Holy crap. Yeah, Bigfoot. We were talking about Sasquatch and Yetis and shit.
You said you've got a friend that looks like Bigfoot when he takes his shirt off. He's got a woman and a family.
I really do.
I don't have a hairy back. What's wrong with me? Excuse me. This thing's fucking gone off the rails. I'm so sorry. Dude.
It's fine. It's really fine. Excuse me. I'm sorry. We apologize.
I love you, man. Oh, God.
Whew. Yeah. Anyway, we won't name any names there, but yes, I do. I do have a Bigfoot story.
I got a friend with one leg. He has a fucking wife.
I don't know what I'm going to name this podcast now.
Oh, my God. Okay, I am not melting down. I swear to God. I'm trying to be funny, and
my jaw is fucked
up. I'm starting to realize how this is going to look, so I can chill.
No. I think it's great.
I actually hope he watches this.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to say, I have a Bigfoot story.
Maybe that's his feet in the...
God damn it.
I'm sorry. This is how a lot of our conversations go.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
No. I have a Bigfoot story, and we were talking before this. I've told it before, and I thought it was fairly recent. And you're saying it might have been the old podcast a couple years ago. I know I told it then, but I feel like it was something we were mentioning firearms or something in the woods, and that was the reason I told it. But anyway, we were definitely
at that table, right? Because we did talk about it in there on the podcast.
It might be my memory's fucked up. We did that podcast too. I picture it sitting right here, but I don't know.
But
yeah, I thought it was like very recent, but anyway, I'll tell it again.
Definitely.
You know, I've mentioned many times I used to go camping all the time, and every year my buddy and me would go for about a week up here in Uori, and we typically went gold panning. We started camping before that, but we got into gold panning camping and became gold panning trips where we'd go for a whole week and work our asses off. It's supposed to be a vacation. Right. We're hiking down in the middle of nowhere and digging in creeks. Anyway, we go to sleep one night, and we hear... like it was literally like just a few minutes after we went to bed. I think like 5 minutes, I've always said, and we heard this loud knock. And I, you know, had just closed my eyes a few minutes earlier, and I opened my eyes, just laid there.
Kind of describe the knock if you don't mind.
Like
two rocks together.
No, like you would hit a baseball bat on a tree.
Okay.
Or a 2x4 on a tree.
I can understand.
Two 2x4s. So definitely a wood knock, loud as shit. I mean, very close. And, of course, you're around a lake, so a lot maybe echoes or whatever, but that's a big wide-open lake, so I don't know. It was really close. So I open my eyes, and I listen for Baker, and I don't hear him. I hear him move, but he don't say anything. I don't say anything. I'm like, okay. Go back to sleep. Because there's nobody on this campground. We always went to try to go at times with nobody around. And there's a couple people here and there, but this time there wasn't. So... a few minutes later, we hear the damn knock again, and this time I sit up, and he sits up. I hear him move again. I'm like, did you hear that? Yeah, I heard it. You know, from his tent, he's responding. I just thought about it.
I did, too. His tent.
Exactly. And we both sit there. What was that? I don't know. It was fairly close, you know, having that kind of dialogue back and forth. Nothing else for a few more minutes. All right. Night, brother, lay down, go back to sleep, you know, and then right after that again, bang. And this time we got out, both of us had our gun, you know, we got our flashlights and our damn, both of us have our pistols, and we're looking in the woods right down there in this little, kind of like a valley where the lake comes, a little mini inlet, you know, this is where it came from, right over in that area. And we shine, and we have these flashlights that light up the fucking woods, and didn't see anything, didn't see any eye shine, no deer, you know, but, you know, we never knew what it was, but we figured after, you know, the show, Finding Bigfoot, went to that actual campground in that area.
Yeah, you found that out later, right?
Yeah, that they were there and all that stuff, and we were there that weekend, and, It was probably just somebody out actually Bigfooting.
It probably was.
It was literally probably people out in the woods banging on trees trying to get a response. Now, we didn't hear any yelping or calls because they typically go, you know, do all the calls and stuff. But that's a big thing is go out there and knock on trees and see if you get a response. And that's my quote-unquote Bigfoot story. But, you know, it more than likely it was somebody with an actual baseball bat out there with the intent of trying to find something.
Because you said that story you took me to where we got, like, gold pan and supplies and stuff.
Yeah, that little story. You said the general story.
That the show stopped at that story?
Yeah, because the show did every episode that would go to a different state, location where they've been spotted, and they'd have a town hall. And they would invite the town hall in and, you know, anybody seen Bigfoots around here, any stories.
Oh, right, right.
And half the room would raise their hand, and they would go through and listen, and they'd pick, like, three. And then they'd literally go out and investigate each of those. And so they went up there and had that meeting at the general store right there in Uori. And that's where they met, you know, the whole room of people and went out and did their stories. And one of them was actually on the campground we stay in. So anyway, they've been spotted around here too. We're right here, you know, 30 minutes away from the National Forest. And there's lots of woods out here too. I'm sure there's ones closer.
There really are. And did you have a hard time going back to sleep?
No. Not really.
Well, I guess, you know, when you got your Glock.
When you got two guys that, you know, trained pretty well in shooting.
Yeah.
You don't feel that scared. And then when you start thinking about those type of things, like, it's probably just a camper, a guy out there knocking on trees or whatever with his buddy. I mean, who knows?
Right.
But.
Because honestly, this is the way you got to think about it. If it's, say, a Ted Bundy type serial killer.
Oh, well, yeah.
He's looking for easy prey.
That's right.
He ain't going out looking to raid tents.
That's right. If there was somebody hidden in the woods, squatting down, watching us, and they see flashlights, big flashlights moving around, and they hear the gun. They hear the click, click, or whatever.
Yeah, the only thing that you would have to have trouble going back to sleep would be a bear, but a bear ain't gonna knock on the woods.
No, a bear ain't gonna pick up a baseball bat or 2x4.
Right. Or if a Bigfoot does communicate that way, that's what it is. I think you're right. When you saw that they were at Uori the week you were there,
right,
you probably heard people out there messing around. It would have been, like you said, fun for y'all to go mess around.
Yeah,
if y'all would have known they were filming.
We talked about it. Yeah. We were like, we wanted to mess with them because we could have literally, you know, we went out there when, you know, found out where
Blacked
they were.
Out.
Found out where they were and went out there and yelled back at them.
Yeah.
And shit like that. And could have made, and they would have definitely said, oh, yeah, there's definitely Squatch here. Because they always, that's their only conclusion.
And we've talked about that probably pranksters have really made some of these people true believers.
Yeah, and you're crazy as hell if you go out there in a Bigfoot suit in some of these places.
No way in hell I would do
these
that.
These country
dude.
Bumpkins
you,
are yeah. going to shoot your ass.
Right.
I mean, that's just all there is to it. You're crazy.
Yeah, and they'll taxidermy.
That's happened, right? That's happened where. Yeah, exactly. They'll fucking throw you in an ice box and try to sell you a shit.
They won't know that you've been murdered until they get scientists to check the DNA. And they're like, hold on, this is
35 years later,
yeah.
They sell it for $50,000.
When they thaw down that box.
But yeah, man, I mean, it's crazy. That's the problem with any of these conspiracy type things or any legitimate questions you have for whether it's Bigfoot, UFOs, whatever, the hoaxes.
You have to worry about it.
You have to. It's just a thing to get famous, or I don't know, whatever. Like we saw in this one, they're trying to sell a fake body for $50,000.
And now
that's crazy.
Now there's always the, just like with UFOs, when we talked about it, you do see lights and stuff. Sometimes you don't know what it is. There are people who see things and they truly don't know what it is. Then, you know, we've also done a podcast on memory.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a big role.
Your memory kind of builds this up over time. You remembering and remember telling the story.
Right.
And it gets bigger and grows.
Exactly. And what happened as an actual 3-second view of some, you know, shadowy figure
yep.
becomes a more detailed, you know, it had shoulders this wide. It was about this tall and definitely was walking on 2 feet.
And I believe
I have no doubt that happens.
You tell it enough, you could pass a polygraph.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I don't think that any of these people are crazy.
No.
I have no doubt that people see things. You know, I'll tell you another story, actually, another campus story, not Bigfoot related, but fairly close, is we were at Lake James, actually, one of the first few years we started going on these long trips.
Mm-hmm.
And we always went, we always go to a lake so we can just do some fishing or whatever. And we were up at this particular campsite. We got the last one available. We walked in and you have to kind of hike, you can park, but you have to kind of hike down to the spots. And it was the kind of the last one available. I mean, literally we were about to leave and these dudes walked up, said, "Hey, y'all want a spot?" Because they were full. And we just packed up and we took it. And it was up on a bigger hill, though, so it wasn't, like, flat. It was, like, a big drop-off. So it was actually a fence beside the campsite, so you wouldn't roll down the hill into the water.
Yeah.
It was pretty steep. And we're sitting up there one day during the day, and we're sitting around eating or whatever around the fire or whatever. I think it was morning. We had, you know, cooking breakfast or something. And you can see the lake out there through the trees pretty clear. And we both saw, you know, the classic Loch Ness type thing where you have three humps going on.
Yeah, dude.
And we sat there and watched that thing. And then I looked at him. He looked at me. Did you see that? I don't know. Did you see that? I mean, seriously, it was like that conversation.
Right.
And to this day, we don't know what it was. Now, that's I'm assuming crazy. It was probably a line of ducks or big. It had to be pretty big. It was pretty far away.
Yeah.
But you know how they all dive and like almost seals do.
Yeah.
In a row.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of the times when people see the Nessie type creature. But we did see something like that. And from our distance,
yeah,
it looked like a kind of an eel like thing.
That is a true.
So I have
dude.
No doubt that people see these things. I
Me
just think
either.
It's, you know, obviously not a prehistoric fucking monster in the water.
Right. And the Tim Peeler guy from North Carolina, he called 911.
Yeah.
He said, "I don't want to kill this precious thing." And I thought that was pretty cool.
He just
you know?
Felt like it was going to kill his dog.
And he knew if it kept coming back, he probably was going to have to
shoot
it.
And he actually asked. He said, "Will I get in trouble if I shoot this thing?"
Yeah.
I mean, he actually asked that.
So I believe he saw something because he didn't seem like the kind of guy that would want too much of a police presence around his house to discover his grow-op.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Because he had a steel out there somewhere.
A steel, yeah, something. You.
He was that dude.
You know what else is funny? You noticed that ring. He had like a class ring or something.
Yeah, I was like.
His other hand, wedding band.
Oh, was it? Okay, yeah, I didn't see it.
This guy can get a wife.
He's got a wife in there, and she was in the kitchen, I guess. She never came out on the camera.
Get in there and cook. Get.
Get. Get. I'll poke you right in the belly button. Oh, my Lord. Anyway, so, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, sightings are legitimate.
I believe it.
But I just think, obviously, it's just something else.
And some of the videos you see when you go down that rabbit hole on YouTube where it'll be like Russian cops, and then you'll see something run across in the snow, the road in the snow.
Yeah, right, right.
Now, you know, you can hear the fear in the cops' voices and stuff, but they don't know, and it could be a prankster in one of those ghillie suits or whatever.
That's right.
Or you never know what it is, man. But I don't want to discount everything because I've seen this one video I told you about, the documentary about that hermit who was a deserter.
Right.
Yeah. And you never know how bad they don't want to be seen.
That's
and
right.
What they dress like
and
when they
how,
do
I was
walk
gonna
close
say,
to a road.
Very close to what you're saying. I was going to say, I do like the theory that was brought up on one of those shows. It's been a few years since I watched whatever it was. But there's a lot of Native American tribes who, as a passage, a right to manhood, they'll send somebody out on their own in the wilds for years.
See?
And imagine what a man would go out in the wilderness and to live completely off the land with nothing but your little loincloth.
Yeah, dude.
Imagine what you look like after a couple years.
Now, that kind of sounds like what he saw.
Right.
He said, "I could see his skin on his face."
Yeah, he particularly is the first one who ever said that he could see the hair was thinner on his arms, and except he had this beard and mustache.
Big bushy eyebrows.
But he could see his skin color and all that stuff. So it makes you, I think that's probably part of it too. And I've told you before, like the Florida thing, we mentioned that before with the Joe Exotic animal shit.
Dude.
The skunk ape in Florida. I mean, there's a population of chimps down there now from people letting these things out. in the 70s.
That one picture, we both said, that's an orangutan.
Absolutely. No question about it.
That was an orangutan at somebody's back door eating yes. fruit or something that they would leave out there for.
Right, exactly.
And they got a motion-sensitive security camera or something, and right. it got a picture of it standing behind that plant.
Yep.
That's a damn orangutan.
It was absolutely no question in my mind about it. So, yeah, those things for sure. But, I mean, you still can't explain everything. You can't explain the worldwide phenomenon of it.
We had
and all that stuff.
We actually have a Tiger World over here close to
yes,
us.
And I've never been to it.
And they had a chimpanzee escape from there that smoked cigarettes.
Right.
There was all kind of news stories where people called in sightings of this cigarette smoking chimp. It jumped across the hood of somebody's car.
Right.
And, I mean, till they caught that
had
thing.
Had a Marlboro hanging out of his mouth.
It was loose for about a week or so. And until they caught it, there's probably somebody thought they saw a Bigfoot.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. I bet you can go correlate stories with it.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you could. Because there's sightings around here. I mean, there have been plenty. And I mean, the most famous one, that, like I said, is the Yori one, but that's just because there's a lot of, it's a national forest, and people go there from all over, but they're all over the place.
Oh, if there is a real Bigfoot, there's no doubt it could live in Yori. As, as dense as that is, because we've hiked just a little bit of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's once so you get off those trails,
deep trails,
it's like, wait a second here. But we did build a lean-to up there, remember?
Oh,
and
yeah.
It would
we
be
went
funny
to,
if
what
somebody...
What we call it? Plymouth Rock.
Mm-hmm.
We hiked out to a place, and we named it Plymouth Rock. Is like, you know, if we ever have an apocalypse, we're going to hike up here because we have the high ground.
We've got the high ground.
We'll
dude.
Have the, you know, it's got the stream down there for water. That's when we tested some of the drinking straws.
Yeah, we
and
did.
Shit.
And
the water purification thing I'd bought.
And you built that triangle to hang a pot on over
yeah,
the
yeah,
fire.
Yes, yes.
And we made hot dogs out there.
Right.
I brought the hot dogs.
And I went back to Plymouth Rock. No, I brought the hot dogs.
Oh, shit.
You brought the bread because I told you to.
Damn it, I brought them.
You'll get that joke.
If you watch Shooting Bigfoot, you'll
yes,
love
you'll,
that.
You'll catch that reference. Anyway.
But yeah, that we took some fallen trees
yeah.
and cut limbs off of them with our machetes and stuff and built a lean-to and then left it.
We left it.
So then if somebody else comes back later, they might think,
I went back
nobody's
later.
Been up here and did that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
This was
a Bigfoot
yeah, this
nest.
Is out in the middle of nowhere.
This is the Bigfoot nest.
Right. They like being high so they can build a blind.
Right. That was true. That's so true. That happened in the other thing. But yeah, I went back out there. Did me and you go back out there?
I've been there once.
I went
maybe
back out
twice,
there.
Maybe twice.
Once. And I remember seeing like part of the lean-to. But it was just like leaned up against it, light stuff. We didn't really do it serious.
No, we didn't. But it was cool. It was really cool. And that we need to go back camping and film it for you guys because that's pretty,
oh, yeah.
pretty cool place. I just don't know if I could stay out there on Plymouth Rock overnight.
Yeah, because that's not... It's a little different, you know, car camping versus camping.
It is very different.
Because you got the campground, you have some other people around most of the time. You have
yeah.
definitely the guy who runs the place because they
straight
switch
out
all the time.
Coming through.
Yeah, there's lights and bathhouses and stuff, and you hear the houses right across the lake, and you hear the boats.
Yeah.
And it makes it a little more, I don't know, easy on your mind. But when you get out there ain't no cell phone service.
You know
there
what I picture?
Nothing.
Just like movies, I picture something happening, you and Ho getting killed, getting your keys out of your pocket, make it back to the car, and the hood's up, and the batteries, and all these wires are hanging out
Or
it
just
it.
Don't crank.
Yeah.
And then you hear the chainsaw.
It's not going to crank. It is not going to crank.
And then you hear the chainsaw, or you see the little girl in the dress.
Yeah. Or
kill, 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 kill. Yeah, right. Every time we go out there, I always do that.
And it sounds horrible in the woods hearing yeah. it like that.
Right. But I don't know, man. But that's the thing. You know, I've been out there for years and years and years and did a lot of shit, even alone, because I would go up there when I first started going gold panning and, you know, just like, for example, me and Camden, my daughter, went with my mom a lot of times out there. We'd just go in a camper for the weekend, but I would go off by myself gold panning some of these creeks, and they're remote.
No way.
And I'm sitting there by myself and like you mentioned earlier, that's when you have those little moments where the hair stands up on the back of your neck.
Yeah.
And that's happened to me.
If you're in running water, though, and you can't hear somebody walking up on you, man.
Right.
I couldn't deal with that.
But you're always, when you're alone like that, there's always that sense of danger and almost doom. So I don't put a lot of credence into when people say, well, I saw something, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. Because that's happened to me, and I know I didn't see anything. You're just thinking about, I'm like completely alone. Nobody could hear me scream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so far away from the campgrounds or whatever. I'm in the middle of this creek. You're always looking around a little bit paranoid, even though no matter how comfortable you get, I guess after a while you get a little more comfortable with it, but there's still always that fear because you are in the wild. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And I think it'll be multiplied out west where there's grizzlies.
Oh,
because there's black bears here, but you know, that does not, you know, you got a 40 on your hip. You feel pretty confident.
Yeah.
But it's the grizzly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And, you know, when we used to do cable, like in the beginning, you know, with digital phone, it ain't like it is today where you can plug in the base here at the MTA. We had to make all the jacks in the house work.
Yeah, yes.
Yep. And I remember being under a house one time in the stand up, you know, basement. But it was old and dilapidated, right?
Yeah.
And I'm up here, and I've got a flashlight, maybe a tiny one in my mouth, and I'm wiring all the wires up on this floor joist where they had run them all back when they built first brought phone into that house. Well, we used to have to deal with an ancient-ass phone wire.
Yes.
And I'm getting all that working, and my battery died.
In your flashlight,
and so now I'm in the pitch black. I could feel the hair on the back of my neck stand up because I just felt like if I turned around,
there's going to be
somebody there. Something. You know?
Yeah,
that's
so
creepy.
I mean, that happens a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess, like I said, less and less as you get more comfortable being in the woods and whatever. But I mean, I'm just saying for the people who say, I know it was something because the hair stood up on the back of my neck. Because there's so many people that say that.
Yeah,
You can't really. That's
like
not,
that's a gauge for
exactly
knowing for how, that somebody's there.
Yeah, that's just not a gauge for me.
Although we have talked about that, was it chi? We talked about you can almost feel somebody's presence.
Oh, the
Kuji.
Yeah,
yeah. So I don't know. I mean, not that every time it happens it's wrong, but most of the time it's just a normal human physiological response to something. Yeah. But one thing I want to tell you that. Because one thing you've noticed as, like, we've hung out, even before I ever moved here, is, I'm kind of a big chicken, but you got...
Well, you say that.
Well...
I've never...
Well, it's not like, I shit myself when my flashlight battery died.
Right.
But I was scared, you know. Right. You remember that?
Because you always pictured the worst, like the movie stuff.
Oh, hell
like
yeah.
You were going to turn around and the fucking, you know, black haired chick out of The Grudge is going to be crawling towards you.
Yes.
That type of
that
shit.
Kind
that's
of
what
shit
you
right
picture.
There. That is supernatural shit.
Yes, exactly.
But when I was a kid and my uncles, you know, they were teenagers when I was real little and they would tell me about this Woolly Booger Bridge where their car broke down there one time and these hairy arms ripped the doors off and everything of their car. And
Woolly Booger.
And I believed it, but I just had creative uncles that loved to entertain me and scare me. Well, then my parents, being teenagers too, the first movie they took me to, I've told you, at the drive-in was a replaying of The Exorcist.
Yes.
Well, the first one they ever took me to at the Carolina Mall.
And you said The Exorcist when they said they actually thought, wait a minute, maybe James, you should get in the back seat.
You
and
remembered
watch
it.
This.
Yep.
And you were still
peeking. And I was still
over.
Peeking over the top.
Yes, exactly.
Until it got scary. Then I lay back down.
Right.
I still remember that.
Yeah, you did get conditioned for this shit.
And then the first one they ever took me to at the Carolina Mall cinemas when I was little was a replaying of The Legend of Boggy Creek. And I put that picture up here
there
behind
it
us.
It is. Yep.
That was a Bigfoot movie, and the one that got me was the dude in the outhouse. He's in the outhouse, and a hairy arm busts through there, and he runs out, and there's like a string of toilet paper running behind him, tackling behind him. And the whole probably first 10, 12 years of my life, if I was in a bathroom that had a window
right
by the toilet, I would always picture a hairy arm busting.
Have you ever used
it.
An actual outhouse?
I have.
I have too.
I have too.
And I don't remember where, but I have a few times.
There's
some old school shit around here.
Yeah, there was one in Landis, and me and my buddies used to always try to make an excuse to go use it at this guy's house because he would always have the Playmate of the Month hanging on the back of the wall.
Right, there you go.
He's an old perverted man.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It stunk like hell in there.
Oh, imagine.
But yeah, the stuff like that, that when you're a kid, you get conditioned to it. And then as you grow, it still fucks with you a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you turn into the asshole telling little kids these stories.
Right.
It's not really an asshole. I think it's just a rite of passage.
Because it's like me. As many podcasts and conversations we had, just not even podcasting, I'm, you know, everybody knows I'm the skeptic. You know, the more of the skeptic or whatever. I think you are a lot more than you say, but
anyway. I am skeptical. Yes, I am.
You know, but even with that said, it's not like I never think about shit like that.
No.
Whether I'm in the woods or here alone at night with the lights out, you know, if I hear something, it's not like that never flashes through my head, but then I quickly go, oh, well, that was just the whatever. The fridge,
yeah.
You know, or the tree blowing in the wind above. Because I told you, you couldn't sleep in my room when it's raining and windy because them damn trees scratch the roof all night. But I know exactly what that is. But yeah, it's not like shit like that don't run through your mind.
Right.
You know, being in a crawl space and your lights go out or whatever.
Hell yeah.
You're thinking, oh shit.
You know, you hear something scurry or something underneath
whether
there.
It's a snake or, you know. So all those primal fears come at you no matter what you believe logically when you think about it.
Yeah, there are people out there who truly believe that like the megalodon shark is out there, and because I read a lot of comments on great white videos, and there are people who aren't trolls who truly believe that there's megalodons out there. Now, people can say, well, the ocean is vast, and we won't know, you know.
Right.
And people can say the forests are vast, and so we don't know. But, you know, I guess where I lean more to some of the things we've talked about is the UFOs, because the universe is way
vast.
Yes, that's exactly. Yeah, there's so much unexplored there,
right?
You
and we have less control over all that,
right,
than we do technology here.
That's right.
So we can go out into the, you know, the Midwest or wherever you want to pick, you know, for where there's a lot of sightings,
yeah,
and we can go up there and set up all these, you know, traps for footprints or DNA traps, and, you know, remote cameras that have long life or motion activated or whatever. And find something if there was something there, I think. And the other part of that, like you mentioned, the megalodon, and I'm no, you know, zoologist or whatever, but I do know that part of the reason that these giant animals no longer exist because they can't. Like, there's not enough food.
There's not.
So things have got progressively smaller.
And then there would have to be two, a male and a female.
Exactly.
And, you know,
all that stuff.
A lot of stuff has to really add up, and so it makes it hard.
Yeah.
And you know, we got a megalodon enough in the great white. Let's not wish, you know?
Yeah, right.
And
but that's the sad part about the Bigfoot thing. It doesn't matter what evidence on camera ever comes out, because it can always be faked now.
That's right.
It's going to, honestly, you know, you have these people who say you don't want to shoot one and stuff, but you know what it's going to take to shoot one?
It is.
It's going to take one to literally either be shot or found, like, fresh.
Yeah.
Where people can, everybody can get access to it.
Yeah.
Period.
Or tranquilized.
Something.
And
it's got to be brought in and held in captivity. Mm-hmm. There's no, because you can't take people to it. You know, you got to bring it to people.
When I used to work at fairs, when I was 18, and
are you
going
to compare carnies to Bigfoot?
Well, you know how they have those world's biggest rat.
Oh,
and
yes,
world's God, biggest yeah. this and that. Just pay 50 cents and you get to see this. Yeah. They had one little sideshow. It was like this wild man was found on the streets of New York City. You know, he's got
I'm
hair.
I'm picturing the guy with the top hat saying this.
Yeah, he's got hair all over his face. And he's the ugliest thing you've ever seen. Come on in. And I came in. Me and my buddy went in there. And there's this guy sitting there, clearly wearing makeup.
Right.
Not saying a word. You know, he's... And then all of a sudden, he's like, "Rawr!" Jumps at the thing. Right. And then he's... I guess he sees our aprons and goes, "Got a cigarette."
Damn.
And I'm like, son of a bitch.
You know? He just got a cigarette. That'd be some shit. You walk out and Sasquatch comes up, asks for a cigarette. You know, he's just that smoking monkey from the fucking Tiger World.
Oh, my God.
Way to pull it back around.
Dude, that's funny as shit.
Oh, hell. Anyway, I think we're good. I don't know.
I think so.
We got part.
Hey, I would pay good money if somebody ever caught one or said they caught one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they wanted to charge me $5 or $10 to see it. I'm not going to go look at a dead one. Like, they try to pass that off a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But if like they say they got one alive and it's in a cage that can't get out of and I'm going to go look at it, yeah, I'll go look at it.
Sure.
I definitely would.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and like I said, we're not brushing off people who see things, so let us know in the YouTube comments, you know, if you've seen something, you know, I mean, because, again, memory's a tricky thing. But, you know, in that moment, you know.
Something you're pretty sure of or you've been told by somebody you really, really trust, I'd be interested to hear some crazy stories. Sure, absolutely,
because we want to reach out to people who've had these experiences. We were talking about one day maybe getting some of these directors, these documentaries, and doing interviews and type.
Right.
That'd be fun.
And you talked about interviewing this Native American guy you met.
Yes. And yes. I think General Grant.
He would be a cool guy to say, hey, you know what? You lived up in these mountains.
Yeah.
You got any tales?
Right. And the Cherokee legends, because he would know them.
He would know them. And I would not be surprised if he has some kind of unexplained hairy thing.
I would have no doubt.
Seems like they're all over the world. And
they are. Yep.
It's weird to think that there's this communal thinking or whatever, however you would say that.
Yeah, well, it's like I was saying with the UFO stuff. You go to India, for example, it's just normal. It's just part of the culture. It's completely real to everybody. And it's the same if you go to some areas like that. Like you go to, I don't know specifically the Cherokee's beliefs on that, but if you go to the Cherokee reservation, for example, it would probably be completely normal to them as far as the legends of part of their,
I could see that,
their history. You know, and it is for a lot of Indian nations. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, it's just part of the, you know, it exists. It's real. We just leave them alone.
That did just really remind me of a story right there my grandmother told. She used to like to tell us these crazy stories of the mountains. I've told you about her telling ghost stories and stuff.
What do they call the ghost?
The devil stairs and all that.
No, what the ants or something?
Oh, haints.
Haints.
Yeah.
Haints, that's right.
Well, this one, man, they said that they had a little hole, a little trap door they could raise up in their floor and reach down, and the chicken always nested right there so they could get eggs out.
Right, right.
And my aunt's...
Pretty good setup.
My grandma's aunt, my grandma's sister, my great aunt, swore that like a hairy hand grabbed her one time and she yanked back. So, you know, that's the kind of shit I was told when I was a kid.
No wonder, man.
You know?
you got all the family that told the ghost stories on one side,
yeah,
and the
Bigfoot stories.
Haints and the Bigfoots. Damn.
I know, man.
Oh, shit.
Floating dead babies in the creek.
I'm the exact opposite. I never got told any of this shit.
What did
I miss out on?
Come spend the night with me, dude. I'd send you back so screwed up.
Jesus. Oh, Lord. But anyway, yeah, let us know what you think in the comments on YouTube. And if you have any experiences with anything like that, or like James said, know people.
Yeah.
And if you listen to this, by the way, on other platforms, SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, or Podbean, actually, we're going to probably add this to some more. Just in, I think we'll tell you about
big
all that.
Big news, maybe.
But yeah, leave us a comment there or a rating if you would. We'd really appreciate it. And think about supporting us on Patreon. By the way, we have
It'd
a Patreon
awesome.
For the podcast. That all those links will be in the description on YouTube. So if we're done, I think we'll let it fade to black.
Now get.
I rough talked him.
I rough talked his ass. He's gone. He went right up there, right up there through that path yonder.